Hello, dumplings. Welcome to the Let's Get Ugly podcast, where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo, keeping it 100% authentic, super sassy, and we're pretty silly too.
We are definitely silly, and today we are going to be chatting with another wonderful industry insider. These are real people we feel are making an impact in the world that we live in, their fields, and talking about what really works and what doesn't.
And we're really here to demystify and cut through all the BS that is out there about these particular industries.
So come grab your drink, let's get comfy, and get ready to embrace the ugly truth behind looking and feeling your absolute best. Today we have an amazing guest. We are so excited to have Hannah Atala, founder and creative director at Oceanus.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
We are so excited to have you here and talk about all the fun stuff, body positivity, feminism, all the topics that we know you would really be able to have a really interesting perspective on. So, shall we cut right to the first question?
Yes.
So you founded Oceanus in 2018, and it has grown exponentially since then, and we love the brand, obviously.
We're wearing it now.
Exactly.
We're all repping.
Always repping. But what has been the most rewarding part about working on the brand for you?
I think developing, like, you know, as you get older as well, your eye, you know, your aesthetic changes a little bit, and we still have our core there, but playing around with newness and then the signatures, you always have like something from newness that sticks. So then I guess after like 6 or 7 years of the brand, you're like, it's so funny seeing what your signature styles are after having so many collections, and then seeing that all combined is quite cool. So I guess it's the design side, really.
No, that's really exciting. And how would you describe your signature style?
Well, maximalist, unapologetic, and playful. Yeah.
Are there any like of your first designs that you like hang on to and you think like this is a classic, like this is the signature, this is the staple? What would that be?
Yeah, well, the whole first collection was named after my family. And it's so funny because my mum and my grandmother passed away I was actually working on Oceanus, but she passed away in the March, and then we launched Oceanus in the June. And hers was like instantly bestseller. Like, so I don't know, I quite like that. And it's like quite sentimental. And those ones are very memorable. Like gold, like bullion, high-waisted, very vintage cuts with fun kind of textiles. Like we're really vintage inspired. So, but I feel like we have a fresh new take with it.
Definitely something that I feel like we haven't actually seen very often is like a contemporary twist on vintage. Like, I feel like people love to commit to the idea of like the silhouettes, but then they also kind of take on that, you know, vintage inspired aesthetic. But this is definitely so contemporary, which is why I think it's so different.
Oh, thank you.
It's cute.
Yeah, I feel like we have pieces that are also, it is, you know, textile wise, it's super luxury, super fashion, but it's also, some pieces can be like commercial as well, which is, it's, you know, it's nice because sometimes with designers, like their collections are epic, but they're very conceptual, and it's difficult to have a business out of that, you know?
It's a good way to think about it and see it for sure, because I think that that's something that a lot of people forget. Like, there has to be a commercial angle for sure. Otherwise, it's just art, right?
Yeah.
And it is still art, though. I still think with a lot of the pieces, it is still art because of the detail that goes into it, for sure. But it's kind of done in a way where
it's wearable. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Which is amazing. So Something that you're really passionate about is female empowerment, and a lot of your collaborations have that strong message within them, like the recent one that you did with Christina Milian as well.
Yeah, Trish was there.
Yeah.
It was so fun. It was, you know, she's such a kind of like inspiring, strong woman, super hot, like mother of three, actress, killed it, like in so many different fields, like even, you know, she's a food and beverage business as well. Like that's, you know, she is very interesting. So it's been really cool to be friends with her. But yeah, I do think so much of Oceanus at its core comes back to strong female women.
What about your personal values? So like when it comes to feminism and female empowerment and your personal values, what are like your top three values that you're going to pass on to Daphne?
For me, it's always about being like not sugarcoating things as well with kids as well. Because I think there's ways to say things that they'll understand at any age. With children, they're actually so smart. And I can remember, like, you know, I don't think people realize, like, in primary school, like, you already know so much. So I think there is, sometimes we hold back so much, but I don't think that's the right approach, you know. So there's that. I would like to instill in her to not, like, censor herself, because I think, as women, sometimes, you know, in situations with men and group settings, and sometimes we always try to make ourselves like less loud and less, you know, I feel like, yeah, more accommodating. And that's not what we should be doing. Like, all because we make someone feel uncomfortable. I mean, actually, if you're making a guy feel uncomfortable, you're probably doing something right. Like, because, you know, like, because you're, you know, you're speaking up for yourself. And a lot of the times that's what we need to be doing, because then they won't get away with, you know. So I feel like there's a shift going on right now, basically.
Definitely. Definitely something that we can see. But going back to being a mother, which is a life-changing experience for you, and Daphne is super cute, and we loved meeting her as well. Has being a mother changed your outlook on female empowerment, do you think?
Yeah, 100%, because it also kind of makes you think, as you become a mother, you're like, you know, in my nature, I'm like a fighter. I really fight for things that I'm passionate about, fight for my business. I fight, if I think something's not right, I will be, you know, just keep going until I get answers, basically, or until a decision is changed. This is the other thing. When you have a child, the freaking brain fog, like, it just doesn't, it's
it
like,
doesn't
like
stop. Oh.
Yeah, people say it's like just baby fog, but it didn't, you know, didn't.
The permanent fog now.
Yeah. No, but I feel like more responsible, because I'm like, you know, I feel more responsible to fight these battles for women's rights, and, you know, because actually it took me a long time to realize how unjust, because you think, you know, maybe our side of the world, like, you know, the UK and everything, like, it is quite equal, and, you know, but then I became a businesswoman, and I was like, no one was, when I was going after funding, and I was explaining to all, you know, these guys in finance, you don't understand, I am on the cusp of something massive, and, like, they weren't taking me seriously, but I knew I was on the cusp of something massive, and I was like, you know, a month later, Harrods reached out to me to stock my brand, and that was my first ever stockist. Like, but I think as a woman, one of the main reasons is because, you know, you are a young woman. Someone literally said to me once, like, who would invest in, why would anyone invest in your swimwear brand when you're only 20, 24? Because I got my first investor when I was 24, who I then bought out. But, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, because my product was amazing. Doesn't matter because you're a woman and your age. Because, I mean, look at what I built from that. But I think that's just, yeah, that's bitter, and that's only a remark that you're going to get from a man. But also, the problem is that a lot of men in finance don't understand fashion investments. Mm-hmm. And they just think it's high risk. But anyone who does understand it and who also has an eye for trends can catch on to brands early on. That's an interesting combination, you know.
That's really beautiful, actually. And I think you've touched on like things that even we felt like,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. I mean, age is a big thing. Always. Gender is a big thing. Looking young is a big thing. Like, you know, we have this really weird juxtaposition with beauty in general, where like we're always fighting signs of aging, aren't we? Like we were talking about, you know, in another episode, coloring hair, like the question, like if you go gray, are you going to color your hair? Or, you know, are you going to get Botox for wrinkles? And that's something that I've, you know, already started doing, or like what are all the treatments that you target? And even just the word anti-aging plays a big role in it.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, it's like, oh, you look too young. Like what?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've had the young thing. I've had the young thing. To be honest, it didn't bother me so much. But I mean, it's good as you're getting older as well, because yeah. You're like still get ID'd. but yeah, I mean. Yeah, you can't win. I think that the anti-aging thing is a very, like, you know, it is, they want us women to feel insecure, like, you know, because society benefits if we feel insecure. Because I do think women are incredibly, incredibly powerful. Like, we can multitask, we can, you know, we're very high functioning at doing so much at the same time, which, you know, and the things that hold us back is like, you know, feeling depressed and, you know, insecure and all these society expectations and, you know, beauty and things like that. And it actually, we would, you know, advance so much more if that wasn't expected of us, you know.
Yeah, of course. Well, what about with regards to body positivity? At the end of the day, you run a swimwear brand. And it's always, I'm sure, a topic of conversation, how we look, how we feel. How do you feel like this has impacted the industry, and how do you account for it in your business?
I mean, I do think that it is so much more norm to be bigger now. Like it's, I think the average, as far as I'm aware, the average body size is size 14.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I always, when I first launched Oceanus, I used to get a lot of curvy girls being like, oh no, this is just for skinny girls. But actually, it's really not, like, at all. It's like, everyone can feel, you know, super confident in it. And I'm glad that things have got a bit better there, you know, with we have a lot of influencers that are actually showing like non-edited, like their real curves, and that helps. Yeah. You know, what do you guys think?
I think that when it comes to, well, in fashion and in beauty as well, I mean, because both of us work across both those industries, there has been a big shift in that way. But at the same time, there's also this whole Y2K thing happening, where it's like people and the Ozempic thing, which is,
yeah,
at the same time as well. So it's kind of like we're saying one thing and then we're seeing something else, and that those messages and like how certain body types have drastically changed because of Ozempic, it's kind of one that's really complicated, because we're saying one thing and then we're seeing one thing. So that's what.
But I think tricky. That's always the case, right? Like whenever we look at like the resurgence of trends. So the aesthetic that we see on the catwalks now is very, very like the early 2000s models. And, you know, that very controversial phrase that Kate Moss said, which was, I'd rather be skinny. And it is problematic. It was problematic. It will always be problematic. But it's something that also at the same time has a flip side to it. And I think it's nice to be able to encourage the flip side.
But the thing is also, like, when I was a lot slimmer, I was never, like, content. Like, I always, when I was at my skinniest, I never felt like I was at my skinniest. So I always, it's where do you...
draw the line.
Yeah. Like, when do you ever feel like there's body dysmorphia is, like, a real...
Yes.
You know, a real thing. And also, as women, you know, I was speaking to someone the other day, and obviously... But some people say that this isn't true, but we have like a second puberty, like, you know, when your hips get wider and when you're ready for childbearing and, like, you know, all of that needs to be taken into consideration as well. Being late 20s is different to early 20s, like naturally, like, so I just think just go with it. Like, gray is cool. Just, you know, roll with it. Like, get, you know, people just need to get used to see. It's good to be real, you know, that's what I think. Why cover it up?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, when it comes to your design process, because it is fascinating, when it comes to kind of aesthetics and the functional aspects when you're designing for different body types, how does that work? Or would it be the same as if you were just designing
for everyone?
So when, okay, so we generally have, when we're grading, we go from like extra small to extra, extra large. But what I try to be inclusive, so I do say on the website, like if you're a size that is outside of that, we will still cater to you, send us your measurements and we'll just make it for you. Cause we do a lot of made to order. So I think, yeah, I mean, size wise, like I don't really, we keep like, the shapes that work really well as our core collection. We play around with a bit of newness. Like, I think we're introducing so much ready to wear now, which is fun. But I always start, to be completely honest, with the textile and then apply it to the shape. So I always like, cause I'm at the forefront, I'm more of a textile designer. And then combining that with swim was like a juxtaposition for me, which was, I mean, I love something that is one size fits all. I want to do more one size fits all because it's just so, I mean, when you're pregnant, amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So yeah, more of that. Super stretchy. And actually the beaded stuff, it's so funny because people don't realize it's four-way stretch.
Is it?
Yeah, it's four-way stretch.
It is,
so
actually,
like it will stretch like one or two sizes up.
Amazing. So it's like also, I guess, something that you, well, these are timeless pieces. Like I see them as like something I would keep forever anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think it's something that you would wear once and then never again. It's, you know, it's beautiful and it's really well made and it's really well built. But the made to measure stuff really, truly excites me because I'm not a size that I can just purchase. So it's really exciting to see that.
It gives the option.
Yeah. And I think there's not enough companies that do that. So at least that's like a really, really clever way of tackling that.
Yeah. I mean, there's other problems that customer service and like, yeah, there's definitely teething problems in other areas. Like when you just say like, yeah, we'll just take bespoke orders from the whole of the public. Like, you know,
yeah.
There's, but it's fun.
Yeah. It's part of the journey. Of course, when you have social media, you're exposed to everything, as we know. And I wanted to ask you why you think women feel the pressure to look a certain way. Why do you think women feel the pressure to look a certain way? Is social media to blame?
I think it's what's considered, you know, what is considered attractive, like what is, it stems also from insecurities. It can be societal expectations, like cultural, you know, like, if you grew up, sometimes you're like, you know, people have like mums that are like, you're getting fat, like, you know, so there's that as well. And yeah, I mean, it comes from very much wanting to be accepted, I think, wanting, you know, seeking validation. And I do think that is something like we all do struggle with. And This is why social media is such a thing, right? Because you get like the dopamine with all the highs when, you know, all your friends are commenting on your post, and like that's a thing, it's addictive.
I think also like when it comes to accepting, because I think that's great as well. If you had to reimagine like the ideal body and beauty standard, what would it be?
We go back in to look at like the Greek goddesses that are like, you know, they ate their food. Like they had, you know, like, yeah. Like, why is it that, you know, I think we should focus on also like always enjoying food first, like food first, body after, you know what I mean? Like we need to switch it on its head. Like that's key. And yeah, just natural. I love natural, but then beauty, then that we wouldn't have a beauty industry then. I mean, but I would like to focus on more natural, you know.
Yeah.
Keep your grays, like it's not a problem. And yeah, I mean, I haven't yet done anything, like, you know, so it'd be interesting. I don't, you know, to be honest, I'm scared. Like I'm way too scared. Since the age of like 24, 25, all of my friends have been getting baby Botox, and I'm just like, I get so scared that, like, you know, I'll regret it, and I don't know, or your face will feel too stiff.
It doesn't really. I mean, it depends on who you go to. I've got a great doctor. She's really good.
Yes, we do.
We have a great doctor. But I think it's just like, at the end of the day, it's just like what you're comfortable with. Like, it's also about how much it bothers you, right? Like, for me, it was one of those things where, like, it just kept bothering me. And I was like, every time I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror, I'd be like, ugh, like,
really?
I like, what's that?
Yes.
Brother, And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna just get it done. And I have to say, it's one of those things that I know I was noticing. Nobody else would have noticed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 6 months out. I've got nothing in there anymore. And I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, you've got like frown lines and wrinkles, you know? And I also think it's like, it's also really normal. And we have stopped normalizing it. But sometimes you just can't control what bothers you.
See, lines don't bother me like at all. I mean, maybe if it gets way worse and, you know. But yeah, it really doesn't. But I also don't really spend a lot of time looking in the mirror. If you spend so much time looking at yourself, I mean, yeah, you're going to find loads of issues, like, obviously. So I don't, I actually never have. I mean, literally in my mum's house, that she didn't even have like a proper, like, you know, we have barely any mirrors.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I think I got that from her, like, but so I don't focus on that as much. And yeah, I mean, I enjoy getting glammed up for things, but every day every day when I'm working stuff, I don't wear makeup. Yeah.
No, I think that's really interesting, especially the idea of looking at yourself in the mirror all the time, because now it's not just a mirror, it's your selfie cam as well, right? Like, the amount of things people post, the amount of things we put up, the, like, constantly having to, like, talk about things online and that kind of a thing. So I almost feel like it might not always be the mirror, but it'll definitely be your phone.
Yeah, in some way. I mean, I also have the same, like, I try not to. I was saying this, like, I just, when I get ready, I get ready, and then that's it, and I'm done. And I'm not going to sit and stare at it again and again, because I feel like it ruins the experience for me. Because you will inevitably find something, and you'll be like, oh, this is annoying, or I could change that. So I rather, like, enjoy the experience of getting glam because I love it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
And then never look at
Don't
it
Don't even
again.
Look at it anymore.
No, I think it's so true as well. I mean, like, also when it comes to feminism and different standpoints people have around body image as well, and like how to deal with those issues is really fascinating as well, I think. Just because, like, you know, for some people it's like, okay, fine, stare at yourself loads, it's cool, it's amazing. And then for others they're like, oh, but is it the male gaze that's making us want to look a certain way?
Oh,
as well,
so interesting. What do you think about male gaze versus female gaze?
I think, well, obviously it's negging is a thing, isn't it? I think we've all met a guy who their tactic is to make you feel insecure So, you know, that's the thing, which is crazy, right? When I felt like, yeah, it's crazy. So I think some women will kind of like adapt themselves, like literally to what they think that man likes, mm-hmm. Which I just reject completely. But that comes with age. That comes, you learn, you know, as you get older, and like, you know, certain things that you wouldn't question when you're maybe in your early 20s or as a teenager, as you're older, you're like, you know, I mean,
I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, or you just reject, like, it's funny how you grow. A major thing also is investing. So the great thing about, you know, becoming a founder was meeting so many of my friends also have interesting businesses like yourselves. And, you know, and that's really cool because you bounce off each other. And as an entrepreneur, you know, you can really like all grow and, you know, support each other up, you know, to get like, and I love that. I've always been a connector. Yeah. And I do feel like that people, when you're in the early stages of your business, that's like so integral and valuable.
And I also feel like hustle culture is something that like was so ingrained with the term girl boss as well. And it was like hustle, 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 burn yourself out. And that's it.
I don't know if we learned from that.
No. I was always just a mad hustler from like just even just being a teenager. Like I was always like collecting. Well, I got really into also just vintage shopping. I was obsessed with vintage shopping. So you know, you just buying things for your archive, and then you're like, oh shit, I'm out of money, I need to sell something, you know, and then you get really into buying and selling. And knowing what sells.
But things like that, that's what I mean. Like, even though people are saying like, oh, hustle culture is dead, there are definitely some of us that never stopped. And I don't think we'll ever stop because it's something that is kind of ingrained. And
it's like who you are.
Yeah.
It's who you are. I find it very difficult just to sit down and watch something through. Like that's,
yeah,
like, I can't do that.
I can't either. I can't. Which my phone really is in bad. My hand. And I'm literally doing something else or working on something, or even if it's like watching TikTok sometimes.
Yeah.
But like I'm literally constantly doing two things at once. I think it's an important discussion to have because I don't think it's necessarily healthy. But
no,
also
no,
at the not. Same time, there is nothing that I can do to
And it gets
that.
Worse when it's like all of a sudden like Instagram is like, or, you know, social media is also research because you're like, yeah. We need to work with this girl. We need to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then...
We're the wrong group to be talking about. Because I was going to say, between the three of us, I don't know. I was like, we are the hustlers. So I was like, oh, yeah, hustle culture. That's why when I see all these like things on like social media, like hustle culture is over, don't work yourself to the ground. And then I'm like, yes, there needs to be a balance to an extent. We need to, all three of us need to find it somehow.
Yeah. No phone day tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
No phone day. But I just mean like in general, it's kind of like, what is that medium? Do we even know what that could look like?
But it's so hard to transition to that because, yeah, it's either one extreme or the other, and it just feels so weird when it's, you know, the other. So, yeah, I think eventually, I always say, like, oh, if I ever, you know, when I'm done with Oceanus, I'll introduce a different lifestyle, but who knows, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'll always have multiple projects on the go, even if it's like passion projects.
Yeah. Stuff like that is important though. I think it's what makes us. It's like our DNA, right? Like, I think no matter what trends are in the peripheral, that's always going to be the case. And speaking of trends, we're going to now move into the last three questions that we've been asking everybody. So the first is, what is your favorite beauty trend of the moment?
I love the fact that thick brows came back in because that's, you know, being half Arab and everything. Like, I was like, this works.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'd never got the thin brow thing.
So that's going to be your biggest beauty regret, or did you not do that? Did you participate in the thin brow?
I mean, I definitely had, like, tweezed them too much, but it was never, like, scary.
Okay.
Like, I've seen, like, you know.
Yeah.
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 never scary. No, which I love. I find it so funny. I was like, it just must be the responsible tourist thing to do.
Yeah, probably. A responsible tourist thing. Where you guys are like, no, it's Nashville. I'm going to stop here.
Like, that's probably it. And loving the extra vibes as well with the glitter and shimmer. But I wanted to ask you, because like obviously you always look flawless. What is your must-have beauty hack?
I love a good mask, a good face mask.
Like a sheet mask or like an applied dry?
No, I also like the ones, there's a really good one from Kiehl's that's like a night mask. Ooh. And it's just heavenly. It's got ginger in it. Can't remember that, it's the ginger. Yeah, that for me is.
Well then, what is your biggest beauty regret? What is something that you've partaken in that
I don't really regret a lot of things, but when I did just not go to school one day and just decide to shave the side of my head. Yeah, did do that. And then when I went into school the next day, so many people were coming up to me like, oh, Hannah shaved the side of her head. But like, and then I never like reshaved it. So I just styled it out, like, you know, because I have so much hair that I would just like, you know, and like you would never really know. But for one point in time, you know, we had some cute hairs. And then I styled it out. But it was a bit awkward because I get blow dress all the time, like almost every week. And then I had a stage where I was like going to like my Turkish, like, you know, blow dry place. And they were like, why do you have like a short bit of hair like this when all my hair was down there? And I was just like, I don't know.
And we have our final segment, which is
you're gonna like this. Mm.
There's more. Final segment, card reading for you.
Amazing.
Where we get to give your message. Should we have our message for the weekend for Hannah? Because I think we all need a weekend. So I'm just gonna knock the cards out to clear any other energy, and I'm just gonna pull a card for you. So you can just send me your vibes and I'll pull it out. Ooh, got this for someone else as well.
Yeah.
New love is in the air. It doesn't mean romantic, by the way.
Like for a second, it was like.
But do you know what? When we designed the cards and created the messages, we wanted to make them as like, you know, as positive as possible, but also to showcase that like love doesn't mean romance. It could be a new passion project, something exciting, maybe even a love for self-care. Maybe the cards are telling us that no phone days are going to happen more often.
Oh, love that.
So that is our little takeaway for today. And then you have one on your own and you can scan the QR code or listen or read the message later.
Thank you.
Of course.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. I loved it.
This was so fun. And that's a wrap.